You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Bechorot brought to you, Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is Daf Tet Zion, and we're holding on the top line right after the first two words, read Omar Mar. Now, if you'll recall, yesterday we had a machloket between Rav Huna, on the one hand, who says that in a case, le'acher pidyonim, what exactly would you do with vladot? After you were paid, the mother, and you have these vladot that were conceived during the time that they were kedoshim, there's nothing to do with them because you just have to let them starve to death. You can't be makir of them because, after all, they were born of a keach kedusha dechuya, and the mother herself was not only a baal admon but had already been peduya, and therefore is totally out of the running for the mizbeach. You certainly can't bring them on the mizbeach. And you can't be paid to them themselves either, because if they themselves are weak in their Kedusha, and the truth is that we saw later on in the Gemara, they're very weak in their Kedusha. Basically, this entire thing is a device of the Rabbanan to prevent Shem Yegadil Miyam Adarim Adarim. So it's not that we really take them as being Kodesh anyway, because they would have been Yaitse L'chulim with the pidyon of the mother. So the whole thing is Gzeir de Rabbanan. You can't have a weak Kedusha like that and treat it as if it's true Kedusha and be paid at it. So you're stuck. That was Rav Huna's approach. Rav Hanina's approach was, there's a simple etza. Before they're born, and before you pray to the mother, you give a separate kedusha to the child, which is the same type of kedusha as the mother, but then they do have enough kayach to be taifus their own pidyon, because you gave them their own separate kedusha that wasn't your aid with the pidyon of the mother. Now you'll be able to be paid to them. That was Rav Hanina's approach. So let us now review, because yesterday we brought a braita, a very long braita, as a raya to Rav Sheshes, because we wanted to know if you could be matvis them to a different type of kedusha, or it has to be the kedushat ima. So we brought a raya from the braita, has to be the kedushat ima. But meanwhile, there's some other important diyukim in that braita that are kedai for us to look at. So Amar Mar, you said in yesterday's braita that ein nivdin tmimim, you'll have to wait until they get a mum, even though you would think, I mean, mamaisa, since they're not roi, the mizbeach, so we should be able to pay to them tmimim. No, you can't be paid to them tmimim, and you cannot be matfis them to a different zevach. And what is that mashma? Isn't that mashma that you can't be paid to them tmimim, but you can be paid to them bali mumim? Is that what it seems to be saying? So zdafke tmimim udele mifrike. How bale mumin would be mifrike. That's diuk one. Diuk two is that zevach shiir tse duhude in matvisan. But lo oto zevach, you could be matvisan. Now, what are we talking about now? In other words, where we're saying you could be paid to them balmum. How can you be paid to them a balmum? We're talking about over here they were mitaber before the pidyon. They were born liachar pidyon. Obviously, the only way that they have enough kayak to be teifus the pidyon is, as Rav Hanina said, it's gotta be hechim ashkachetla, that before you were paid to the mother, just like Rav Hanina said, you were matfisan to the same zevach, and because of that, you could be paid at b'muma. Now, come on! This is Rav Hanina. This is all the way Rabbi Hanina. It's a total tiyufta for Rav Huna. Rav Huna claimed you gotta let them die. There's nothing to do. The Braita is telling you exactly what to do. It's telling you basically Rav Hanina's halach. Tiyufta Rav Huna. Amalecha Rav Huna, no, you know what? Both of your diyukim are misleading. The Tana never meant what you're saying. The truth is that you weren't able to be paid to them even bali mumim, just like I'm saying. What? So why does it say you can't be paid to them tmimim? Because remember that the braita was constructed as a contrast between the case where you have kedushat damim and the case where you have kedushat aguf. There were two separate cases over here. So therefore, we're going to keep them on the same level. That's all. So because of the fact, says Rav Huna, that it said in the Reisha, you can be paid to them to me mean. So Mamela, it said in the Sefer, you can't be paid to them to me mean. But it doesn't mean, but you could be paid to them, Bali Mormon. You can't be paid to them at all. Because they have now, as I said before, they're coming from a Kedusha Tchuya, nothing to do. So therefore, you were just being misled. So Tananami Seifa ain't niftin to Mimi. Furthermore, the Reisha says that what? Kol Zevach Shir, it used the Lashon in the Reisha, where Kodam Mum Kavua Legdesha was the case of the Reisha. Of course, Kodam Mum Kavua Legdesha. That's the case where there was no Kedushat HaGuf, there was only Kedushat HaMim, for heaven's sake. But because it wrote it over there, so it said in the Seifa, Lekol Zevach Shir, but the truth is you can't be matvis any Kedusha on it before you're paid to the mother. And therefore, the two diyukim that you put together to show that I was wrong and that Rabbi Hanina is right, were both misleading because they were only bringing in what the halacha is based on the first part of the Braita we're over there was talking about a Kedushat Domim Bilvad, where Kodam Mum Kavua Legdesha. But if the case would be Kodam Egdesha Lamumam, then I'm telling you, there's nothing to do with these vladot. There's no way to be matvis them to any kedusha. You obviously can't be paid to them because they don't have a power to be teifis pidyonim, and therefore, trust me, put them in the kippah, let them die. Okay, the next thing the Braita said, if you do shchitat chutz, you're potter. Now, interestingly, Rav Huna's girsa here was like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said chayah, right? But that was because, even though it's not royal petach o'moed, but it is a possibility, if we're talking about Dokin Sheba'ayin, and we're going to Libet Rabbi Akiva, so since if it were put on the Mizbeach, we wouldn't take it off of the Mizbeach, it's considered to be royal petach o'moed in the broadest sense, and because of that, it would be considered to be Shchut Echutz. So indeed, Rav Huna's Girsa was Chayav, he says it's talking indeed the cases where there were cataracts, and it's going a libet Rabbi Akiva the Amar im alu lo yertu, and since b'diavad if you put it up there it doesn't come down, because of that it's royal petach o'moed. So in a case where you have kedushat haguf, there you have tmura even after pidyon. Omer Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua. What's the din of the tmura that was made liachar pidyon? The din is tmurato liachar pidyono meta. Can't use it for anything. My taima, exactly the same svar that Rav Huna said before about the vladot. Look, what do you want to do? Okay, echilave. You want to bring it to the mizbeach. How can you bring a tmura, which is itself an expression of a kedusha dechuya? Not only was okay, if it was a balmum, that's fine. The Torah says a balmum can make a tmura, but it was already padui. So if it's already padui, it's mikach kedusha dechuya ka'ata. Okay, so you'll say so, fine. So I'll go and be poded. How can you be poded? The tmura itself does not have sufficient kedusha in it. Lo alim ala mitfas pidyona. It's not strong enough to be tofis the pidya. Hilkach meta. So there's nothing to do. What it has to do is what we said before about the vladot. Remember, all along we compared the vladot to the tmura. We said there were two ways of extending kedusha. You can extend kedusha by having a child into the next generation, or extend kedusha by saying this animal should be the same as that animal. And then both of them become kodesh. It boils down to a kedusha extended from the original animal. There's no Uber. There's a Tmura here. We're switched now. We're talking about Tmuras. I'm just pointing out that a Tmura, in a way, is exactly the same as the Vladot. Okay? It should be. That's how we compared it before, remember? When we were talking about cases, we had four cases that we brought up earlier, right? In which we had Bechor and Meiser, Tmura and Vladot, where it could be Chal on a Balmum, remember? So the truth is that Tmura and Vladot are very similar, because they're givens. The problem is, that Tosis points out, that very similarity breaks down right here. Something is ridiculous, because the din on the Vladot, if they were conceived after the pidyon, we said before, there's no kedusha on the vladot. If it's after the pidyon, it's like ketzviva chayal. If it's ketzviva v'chayal, it has zero kedusha on it. So why, if the tmura is made after pidyon, is there a tmura on it? should be the same thing. What, I understand. What are you doing? You're making a tumura of an animal that is not Kodesh. How can you make a tumura of an animal that's not Kodesh? It should be the same as the Vlad, says Tosfos. It seems to be a built-in contradiction over here to say such a thing. Huh? It shouldn't be a tumura. You're making it, you can't take a chulin animal and make it a tumura. It has to be a Kodesh animal. It's not a Kodesh animal. So Tosfos says that what we're going to have to say is that this boils down to the gzerata katuv of how each one is handled. The din of the vladot is defined only through the level of kedusha. What's the level of kedusha that's left? The fact that you're not allowed to do giza v'avodah. That's the kedusha.
Clearly not.
We said there's olim lemitvasei. So in this particular case, we have a strange situation. Something was kodesh b'kedusha d'gu. If you went ahead and you were put it, the halacha is you can only eat it. Why can't I do other things with it? Because there's still some level of kedusha left. So if it died, we said, okay, you'd have to be kover it, right? Because what are you going to do? So that means that Isser is the only expression of its Kedusha. So this is the Isser of Giza Va'avoda, which is all that these Vladot are expressive of, that they were born during a period of the Isser of Giza Va'avoda, is not sufficient to give them a din of Kedusha at all. If the Iker din of the Kedusha was Niftet, where will you get the din? Tzvi Va'ayal, in that sense, would mean it's Tzvi Va'ayal. It's like Achaya, B'alma, no Kedusha. But once the Torah was Megala, that you can make initially, up front, a kedusha on a tmura of a balad mum, so then the fact that you were paid it doesn't completely take away that level of kedusha. Because the roid liftais is not considered to be a violation of kedusha. That's Tosfos Sfarah. Most important is to keep in mind that we're dealing with what used to be, we thought in our minds, the same idea. And now here we need to get into the subtleties of how the kedusha expresses itself. So when it comes to the din of tmura, bal mum makes no difference. Because the Torah says befer is rabatov. So it could be tov bara, it could be rabatov. And that means you can use a ra carbon, a bal mum, to make a tumura. Once that's true, it's telling you that it's irrelevant, the balat mum aspect. So then maybe the pinyon is also irrelevant. That's what you're going to have to say. Otherwise, we should say you can't make a tumura at all after pinyon. Okay, more of this we'll get into Mesechet Tumura. But the point is, we need to remember not necessarily the din of ladot and the din of tumura are the same. So what we're saying over here to do to the tumura boils down to what we would do to vladot that were conceived while it was still Kodesh, but Kedusha Zaguf Alibir Ravuna. Vladot that are the same as this Tmur, that were even conceived after the Pidyon, have no Kedusha. They're not the same as the Tmur. Okay. So Reb Nachman is basically telling us his Sfora. His Sfora is, what do you want to do with it? There's nothing to do. Matkiflor of Amram, why is there nothing to do? Why can't you simply go ahead and eat it once it gets a mum? And there's a perfect model for exactly this situation. If you went ahead and you made a tmura of a bechor, or you made a tmura on a korban that was ma'aser behima, the din would be that tmura can be eaten and as soon as it gets a mum. No problem. Not even paid it. Just eat it with a mum. Why isn't this the same? V'chima be'zelet tumurat b'chor u'ma'aser. The Mishnah says b'feirush in tumura, titznan, tumurat b'chor v'ma'aser, hey, uvladan at sof kol adorot. Anything that derives from that kedusha have the same din as b'chor u'ma'aser, which is, yechu b'muman l'bali, they should be eaten by the owner. Omalei Abaye, what kind of weird question is that? Of course, that's because they are called, they're not called tumura. You're saying, there's a carbon called tumura. No, there's no carbon called tumura, my dear Avamra. There is a tumurat bechor, there's a tumurat shlamim, there's a tumurat maaser, there's a tumurat ola. Now, how do you think they're all supposed to have the same thing? It's a silly question. Zeshem imo alav, zeshem imo alav. Remember, we're calling a tumura the same as a vlad. So the root kedusha animal is called the mother of the tumura, so to speak. So each one maintains exactly the same kedusha that the mother, so to speak, the conceptual mother had, okay? So what is a tumura of a bechor? A tumura of a bechor. So it's ze shem imo alav, namely tumurat bechor. Take out that word kulo. So it's called tumurat bechor. It's called tumurat maaser mekaria. Okay, thank you. Therefore, it has the same din as a Bechor HaMaaser. What's the din of a Bechor HaMaaser? Ma Bechor HaMaaser b'mumon mitachle labalim, the din is that they're eaten. So, aft muratan mitachle. Fine, that's lovely. But the case that you're bringing me, where it's a tumura of a particular korban, let's say, shlomim, ayla, whatever, that is called tumurat kodashim, of whatever korban it is, mekaya. So then, it's the same as the din of the mother. Ma kodashim lo mitachle lo pipidyon. Could you eat a mother without a pidyon? Like you eat a bechor. So after muratan lo mitachle lo pipidyon. So now what should you do? You'll say, okay, so let me be poted. Ah, but you can't be poted, as we just said. V'alo alim la mitvas pidyona. You have no way of being poted. So therefore, you're up the creek without a paddle. You can't eat it. You can't be poted. You can't be makrovit. Boom. So that's what I'm saying. Let it die. And indeed, we have a braita that says exactly what Reb Nachman said, that there is an iser d'oraita of eating tumurat suleim mugdashim. Has nothing to do with that. What does it say in the braita? Minai in the tumurat suleim mugdashim shemeta. How do I know that if you were paid epsulei amukdashim and then you went ahead and you made a tumura, that tumura has to be left to die? Talmud Lomar comes along the pasuk to say, we mentioned this pasuk in various contexts before. Ach et ze lo tochlu mimaalei hagera umam mimafrisei haparsa. This is very misleading, the pasuk, because what it seems to be saying is, you cannot eat the following things, which are both Maalei Geira and Mafrisei Parsa. And then it starts telling you about the camel, because it's only Maalei Geira, right? Or about the chazir, whatever, that have one siman. But you said you can't eat things even with two simanim, and then you go ahead and bring a list with one siman. So obviously the simple meaning of the pasuk is that we mean either of the mafrisei parsa or the maalei hageira. But the truth is the pasuk is being merames to you that there is an animal that could have both maalei hageira and mafrisei parsa and still not be kosher. What would that animal be? That would be exactly our case. This is Talmud Lomar, Tumurat Psulei HaMukdashim. Does it look kosher? Absolutely. It's Bimah Frisei HaParsa. Yep. It's Bimah Legera. Yep. Nonetheless, there are Maalei Geira that are usher to eat. Tameu Lachem. You cannot eat it. And that's where we learn it from. Says Gemara, that's where we learn it from. I thought this was a famous drusha that we used. This was the drusha that told me that the five korbanot chatat that are called the chataot metot that we've spoken about on so many occasions, because you have a chatat where the owner died, you can't bring it as a chatat, so the owner was mischaper with another, or the chatat became too old, it's long, retokshinata, and you cannot bring it, or it's a vlad chatat, or it's murat chatat. All of those things, we have a local of Hashem Sinai, they're not brought on the Mizbeach, you can't be paid to them, you have to let them die. So we bring the iser of eating of chamesh chatot meitot from this pasuk. No. There's two separate words in this pasuk. Mima lehagera tame and mima frisei parsa tame, right? So the one about the chataot hametot, what we're talking about is mima frisei parsa. Ahu mima frisei parsa tame. And here what I told you was, we learned it out from mima lehagera tame ulachemar. You're not paying attention. Tanenameyachi. Take a look at the bright, it's very makbit to point out which part of the pasuk we're learning it from. Minayin lechamesh chatot metot, Talmud lomar mimafrisei haparasa tamei. Okay, so we have two drashas. One to tell me tmurat suleim mukdashim after pidyon, that tmura is useless. And the other one to tell me the chamesh chatot metot. Now, even though Reb Nachman learned this out of his svara, he said, well, what are you supposed to do? And here we're bringing it from a pasuk. Remember that the pasuk makes it an iser lav to eat. I mean, that's not something I normally tell a svara. I could say there's nothing to do with it, but I can't say you're going to get malchus if you eat it. This is telling me that it's actually considered to be like eating a trefa animal. Okay, he asks the Gemara, hold on a minute over here. Chamesh chataot meitot? I thought that was a halacha of Moshe Sinai. I didn't think that was a pasuk. We always call that Hilchta Gemirah. Yes, you're right. Sorry about that. What the pasuk was really coming for, Kiyatakra, was for the Tumura of an Asham. Now the din is that if you do and any of the things, Vlad Asham, Tumurat Asham, Asham Shenit Chapru Baalei, all of the things that the similar case of Chata'at would be made, huh? By an Asham, you wait until it gets a mum, you're paid it, and you use its value to buy an oila. Now, the word tamehu lachem could be understood in that way. Tamehu lachem means you have to wait until it's tameh, meaning until it got a mum and can't be used, and only then is it lachem. All different interpretation. And that's what it means over here. The asham cannot be used directly, even though, wow, it's perfectly good shape. Why can't I bring it for an oila? Tameh, you have to wait until it's tameh, then it becomes lachem. Says the Gemara, but that's also halacha l'moshe b'sinai. It goes hand in hand with the halacha l'moshe b'sinai of chamesh chatot metot. Asham, tumurat asham is also hilchatayi. It's a general rule. Kol shebechatat meta. Any of the five cases that impact the chatat and make you leave it in a kippah to die is ba'asham ro'ah. You have to go ahead and wait till it gets a mum. Oh, you know what? You're driving me crazy. I'm going back to what I said before. It means chamesh chatot metot. And what are you saying? It's hilchata gemira. Of course it's hilchata gemira. But I still need a pasuk. Itzrich krov, itzrich hilchata. Look, all the pasuk says is tameh. You just told me that tameh could be understood as meaning wait until it gets a mum, right? Well, how would I know that that's, maybe that's what it means by the chamesh chatot metot. Wait until it gets a mum. Because imikra hava mina, the word tameh is l'riya. Do the grazing thing until it manages to fall in a hole one day. Kamash malan, therefore, comes along. The Hilchata says, no. It's not l'ri'iya, it's l'mita. On the other hand, if it would have said the Hilchata, I would have said, okay, so what would happen if a guy went ahead and ate it and he did the wrong thing, yechadavav, and he was an ochlo, it would be one of these mihani chamesh chata'ot, it would be an isura. Okay, but there's no malchus. Where's there a lav? Isura ika, but lav leka. Kamash valan tameyu lachem, isur diraita, a lav for your chayim malchus. Or, you know what? This is a simple explanation. Ibait ema. The point of putting the chamesh chatot ametot together here is coming to tell me, mafrisea parsa, is to lahakish, to compare a dover habami ma'alea geira, the dover habami mafrisea parsa. Namely, what we were learning out from ma'alea geira, the case of Tumura that we just had of Suleyam Mukdash. The Torah wants to put the two together, to the chamesh chatot metot, and this, exactly as we said, malalan bimita, afkan bimita, just like you guys were ready to agree. Nobody argued that when it comes to the chamesh chatot, it's metot, definitely concern the kippah. So, too, it's coming to tell me this halacha, that a tumura, acher pidyain, the din is, it's bimita, which is exactly what Reb Nachman said all along. Getting back now to the main idea of this parak, which started off with a goy who has the ownership, right? And he makes either, he's a partner, or he gives it to a Jew, bekabbalah. Bekabbalah means you make a deal where you take care of the animal and you're going to split the vladot. Or vice versa, the Jew gives it to the goy with that type of arrangement. In all such cases, we said in the opening Mishnah, the din is that you've got some level of the ownership of the goy, and therefore there's no chiyuv of bechor in any of it. Now, there's another unique case that we haven't spoken about before, and that is a variant of the din of being mekabel, where you make a deal that not only am I going to take care of your animal, I am going to be absolutely responsible to get you your principal back. So therefore, you say, all right, we've got a normal deal. You take care of my animals and you share 50%. But, says the goy, I want you to be fully responsible for the current value of that animal. And therefore, let's bring an assessor, have it assessed. And now you promise me, if that animal gets hit by lightning, drops dead, I don't care what the case is, you are going to give me back that full value as it's assessed today. And not only that, if the market value drops, you're going to pay me back according to current market value. Now that is called tzon barzel. It's like you didn't give him an animal. You gave him basically a bank account. because he can't lose. And the truth is that because of that, in exactly a case like this, if it wasn't a goy, if it was a Jew, you'd be paying him rebit. Because he's basically giving you, he's saying, take it. I want money back. Okay, that's not called rental. That's called a loan. I'm taking your thing to try to make money off of it, right? I'm guaranteeing you a return. Uh-oh, that's called rebit. I'm guaranteeing you the principal. Plus, I'm doing all the work for, basically for you. In return for the fact that I'm going to be allowed to use this. But that's what a loan always is. In return for the fact that you're allowing me to use your money to make money, I'm going to guarantee you your money back plus. No, that's exactly rebit.
The price goes up.
We're going to split, but I'm also going to give you a vladot. I'm going to give you the extra value too if the price goes up. We split it. So that's like every deal, what you make with money. So where I take risks, the lender take risks, then we don't have the, we're in business together. But over here, I'm not taking any risks. I'm getting back full value plus. That would be awesome. Over here, since it's a guy, it's not awesome. Now, the thing is that then I would also think that since by a Jew it's considered to be a loan, so then over here there's no ownership of the guy at all. He's basically giving it away to you. It's yours. But then if it's yours, it should be chayiv and bechora. Comes along the Mishnah now to tell me that despite what you would have thought, that is not the case. And that the din is, if you're mekabel tson barzel min ha'oved kochavim, nonetheless the vladotehem of that tson barzel, those vladotehem are potter min habechora, which means that when those vladot themselves have a vlad, those vladot will not be bechoros. The vladot themselves are potter from a bechora. The vladei vladotehem are chayavim, however. So in other words, if you have, this is now the vladot of the tzon barzel, and this is the part that's mine, I'm the Jew. And now I've raised the part that I got, my 50%. I raised them, and now we've got another generation which has its children. There the din is that indeed is chayav, because that's entirely mine. So now what is the din of those vladot? Says the Mishnah, vladotehen piturim. The children of that tzon barzel cow that grow up and have a child is not going to be kadosh b'bechora. Because since those children that are being split by the goy and the Jew are also considered to be part of the deal. So in other words, the yada akum, there's still an akrayut to the akum from there. So since the yada akum, the shayach and the mother, the children are no longer chayav. And we're going to see that this is because the vladot are always standing there ready to be grabbed by the goy if he's not paid up properly. So they're also considered to be the goys. So their children, therefore, will be potter. And only vladei vladotehem chayavim, only their own children, start getting a din of bechor. So in other words, what this means is that the children of the original tzon barzel, let's call the tzon barzel generation one, her children that the goy got 50% of, are all their generation two, and even the 50% of the Yisrael are potter from bechor, which means that the third generation that's born will not, if they're a bechor, will not be kadosh b'bechora. But the third generation that's born and grows up, their children will be chayav v'bechor. So in other words, the fourth generation of tzon barzel will be given to the kohen. If, however, you extended the keach of the goy, and you wrote in a contract, he'emid v'lodotehen tachad imotehen, you wrote to the goy, and you said, look, I want you to know that if you do not get the money that I owe you, you can even take the vladot that were supposed to be mine, you could even take them. Now, Lamais, the guy would have done that anyway. And what you've really done over here is you have made the vladot the equivalent of the first generation. So now you've pushed everything off by one generation because he now owns essentially the vladot themselves. So in this case, it would be one generation more that would be potter from the Bechora, because the second generation was also considered to be Yad Akum Be'emza. And that is certainly what the Mishnah seems to be saying. We're going to see in the Gemara that there is another interpretation. The next issue in our Mishnah is Nidme. A Rachel, she yalda min Eiz, and an Eiz, she yalda min Rachel. And of course, we have discussed this at great length back in the Sugya of Petach Hamor. We had Achi Yehushar, Ubechoroshar, and so on. And then we had Ach Chalak to teach me that in Yeshbo Miktsat Simanim Chayav. And we'll get, once again later on, into the Makor of this Drasha, because remember that there were really two. Either we could learn it from Petach Hamor and derive it to Kedushat HaGuf from Kedushat Damim, or vice versa. Okay, now getting to the Gemara, Lameimra. So what are you saying? You're telling me that given a Lonakat Mora Zuze, that so long as the Oved Kochavim has not collected the value that was guaranteed, then for all intents and purposes, the animal is considered to still be in the Reshut of the owner, in this case, of the Goy. So, Reshut de Mora Kaima. There's a big problem with this. The problem is that it says, Beferish, in the Mishnah, Ein Mikablim, Son, Barzel. There's a Mishnah in the Sugya of Ribit in Bab Metzia. You are not allowed to make a deal of Son Barzel with a Jew. Why? Because it's Ribit. Why is it Ribit? Because for all intents and purposes, I didn't give you a cow. I gave you a cow cash, basically. It happens to me it looked like a cow, but really, it was just whatever we agreed upon was the estimated value. You're responsible to give me back this thing in money. You're not responsible to give me back a cow. So the cow is entirely yours. And you're also paying me for my giving you this money. That's called rebate. And therefore, you cannot make a deal like this at all. But what does that show you? That the cow is not a cow. It's not that the owner owns the cow. I, the Mekabel, have my cow do what I want with. Either I give back a cow, I give back a check. It has nothing to do with anything. I mean, you could always say that in a loan. I could have paid you back with a cow. Big deal. But this is my cow now. So you see, it's Reshut de Mekabel Kaimin. It's mine completely. It's not a Kenyan. It's a loan. You told me I should give you back its value. And that's nothing to do with the cow anymore. If the market changes, I'm going to have to give you cash. You're going to say, cows? They're not worth anything. I want my money. That's what you're going to tell me. So that means for all intents and purposes, you gave me money in the form of a cash cow. Omer Abaya, well, you know what? Lo kasha. What we're going to have to say is that there were two different cases. One is a case where you mekabel unsa vezula, and one is a case where you were not mekabel unsa vezula. So one case, you accept upon yourself that meaning the owner, in this case the goy, accepts upon himself a proportion. He said, look, how about if we split the loss if the market changes, you know? How about if we split the loss if there's a lightning strike? So in that case, the owner is still involved. Masha Inke, the case where the Mishnah Asers Kabbalat Son Barzel, that's talking about a case where he had no Yunsa Vezula acceptance on himself at all. Amalei Rava, that is the most crazy thing I ever heard. A person accepts upon himself part of the loan, part of the loss, and you're calling that Son Barzel? The meaning of the word Son Barzel is, baby, I gave you cash. That's what it means. I gave you a metal cow, and I want back that full value. How do you call that Son Barzel? Remember that Rava is always very mocked on the language. If it says Son Barzel, it means Son Barzel. That's question number one. The Ode. And Abaya, I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. Pascha. But the Tana changes the rules in the middle. You're telling me, sometimes he talks about Son Barzel as being Unsa Vezula. Sometimes he talks about Son Barzel as not being Unsa Vezula. You, poor reader, are left to your own devices to guess, and the Tanakh contrasts one case to another, and you're supposed to figure out that, of course, the rules are changing in the two cases. I mean, come off it. Not to mention the fact, when you continue reading the Mishnah over there, the Tanakh now contrasts whether you can be Mekabel Tzon Barzel from a Jew or Mekabel Tzon Barzel from a non-Jew. Don't you understand that according to your approach, if there's two different types of Tzon Barzel, one where you do accept Unsa Vezula and one where you don't, why in the world did the Tana have to contrast Jew to non-Jew? He could have said, there are times when you can be Mekabel Tzon Barzel from a Jew. When is that? When he accepted upon himself, according to you, Abaya, he accepted upon himself part of the losses, 50% of the losses, 50% of the market changes, then you can be Mekabel from a Jew. But if he was not, they're both called Son Barzel Abaya, right? So, but if he was not, then you're not allowed to. Instead, you make a rule. From a Jew, you cannot take Tzon Barzel. Only from a Goy you can take. Does that make sense to you? I mean, don't you want to tell me the subtleties of how ostensibly Tzon Barzel is made? So obviously, Abaya, you could please forget about your pshat. Let's get serious, and I'll tell you what the pshat is. So let's see that inside. Va'od. Adatani seif avon mekablim Tzon Barzel min ovek kochavim. For God's sake, liflog v'litnei bedida. Make the difference in the case of Tzon Barzel of a Jew. Say, Bamed, Varim Amorim, when can you not make a deal of Tzon Barzel with a Jew in a case where the lo kabel alei unsa v'zula, where he didn't accept upon himself partial losses? But kabel alav unsa v'zula shapra dami. So I hope, Abaya, we can agree that your pshat is up the creek. I will tell you the right pshat. Ella Amar Rava, look, obviously, by definition, edivided a lo kabel alei unsa v'zula. The meaning of the word Tzon Barzel is that there was no agreement to share losses. The point over here by the Bechor has nothing to do with the other issue about who owns it. You know why? Because you made a basic assumption that it requires the ownership of a goy to pater you for Bechor. And that is what's wrong. The reason that you're pater by the Bechor is not because the goy owns it in some way. It's because, for all intents and purposes, he owns it. Because since he could exercise a lien against if you don't pay him, he could say, gentlemen, I made a deal with this guy. I gave him these animals to raise. He hasn't paid me a penny. I want to take my losses out of these animals. He's going to be able to. And since he can do that, it's as if he owns him. It's called Yad Akum Be'emza. He's involved. You're not going to be able to get rid of him. He's involved. And therefore, until you pay him off and you bought them, so to speak, and made them yours, until that point, you're not going to be able to take a bechor out of these animals. So, Hainu Taima, the real reason is, says Rava, it's not because of technical ownership. It's simply because Iluati Abed Kachovim Boy Zuse. Suppose the guy shows up at your doorstep and he says, okay, where's the money for the Tzon Barzel that I gave you? And you don't pay him. What does he do legally? He's going to take the animal he gave you. And if he doesn't find the behemah, or there's not enough money in that behemah, he's going to be tofis the vladais. So then, if that's the case, hareyad ovet kochavim be'emtza. You've got the hand of a goy in the middle of the deal. V'cho yad ovet kochavim be'emtza, turamin ha-bechora. That itself is enough to part to you from Bechor. It's not B'Yisrael. It's not uniquely Yisrael. And you are making a mistake if you think it's a function of the legality of whose name is written in the ownership shtar. That's not the point. Now that we've discussed what we mean by Tzon Barzel, what the deal is, let us go back to the Mishnah and examine it. And once again, I mean, here the printer's bringing only Ha'emid, the second part, but it's actually important for us to remember the whole deal in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if you're Mekabel Tzon Barzel min ovek kochavim, v'lodotehem are paturim, meaning the generation two, we're calling generation one the actual first cow that was the Tzon Barzel. The generation two is the Vladot. So that generation two is Potter, meaning that if that generation two has children, that which would be generation three, a generation three Bechor is Potter. But that generation three that grows up and has a child, the fourth generation would be given to the Kohen. So Vladei Vladotehem, we said Rechayamim. If Hemid Vladotehem Tachademotehem, if you, the Jew, says to the Goy, listen, even the 50% that are mine are yours to take. If I don't pay you what I owe you, the deal that we made in the estimation of Tzon Barzel, then basically you've made the second generation the first generation. And in that case, only generation five Bechorot would be given to the Kohen, because then even generation four itself, born to generation three, would be put. Now, remarkably, we have here a machloket that seems to ignore the meaning of the mission. Omer of Huna, the Vladot are Peturin, Vladei Vladot are Chayavim. Which is exactly the way we'd originally explained, that the first generation is Potter, and therefore its Vladot, generation two, are also Potter because they stand as the backup payment for the Goy. But generation three that has a child is Chayavim Bechor, which would mean that the fourth generation would be given to the Kohen. And that is Vladei Vladotehem. Third generationers are Chayav the Bechor when they have their own children. Rav Yehuda, and that's fine. But strangely, Rav Yehuda seems to come along and ignore the Mishnah entirely. And what he says is, Rav Yehuda Amar, nope, Vlade Vladot are also Peturim. Not true. The third generation are Potter, and therefore generation four will not be given to the Kohen. It's only Vlade Vlade Vladot, fourth generationers, they are Chayavim, and the fifth generation Bechor that's born is given to the Kohen. Asks the Gemara, obviously our first, we would have said, oh my God, how does he understand the ratio of the Mishnah? But the Gemara has a more immediate question from the Hamid, because the very words that Rabbi Yehuda uses are what the Mishnah uses to describe the din if and only if an additional contractual obligation was incurred, namely, Tnan, Hamid Vladot Achati Motehen, if he specifically told the Goy, you can take even the Vladot as if they were the first generation your Tzon Barzel, then, and again, only then, the third generation is also Potter, which would mean that the fourth generation born would not be a Bechor. But only because you were Hamid. So Taima de Hamid, you see that it's clear that Rav Yehuda is wrong, because Rav Yehuda's very din is said by the Mishnah, but only in a case where you added an additional right of a generation to the Goy. Hello, Hemi, but if you hadn't done that, there's no way that we would have said that only the fifth generation is given. Even the fourth generation would be given. To Yufta to Rav Yehuda. Amar lecha Rav Yehuda, not true. The fact is that the same exact halacha would have been the case, even if you weren't Mami. The Mishnah is coming to tell me that the halacha doesn't change even though you were Ma'amid. That even in a case where you were Ha'amid, Nami, the din is exactly the same, and that even though Afilo Ha'amid Nami, even though you were Ma'amid, in which case you've been empowering him, where there he would in fact grab the child if he didn't pay, it really doesn't make any difference. Don't think that because you did that, that essentially is giving him the rights to grab all the generations subsequently. And we should extend it now and say that even the fifth generation would be Potter. No, it's not true. It remains the same as before. Havi kamid lo amid, and that it is only the vlade vladot are Peturim, and therefore the fourth generation isn't given, but the vlade vlade vladot are Chayavim, and therefore the fifth generation that's born would be given. Now we have a problem. The problem is that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel comes along then, and he argues and he says, you know what? Even ad asarah dorot peturim. Even, now we thought that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was referring back to the Reish. In other words, even though the Tanakhama said that only the first generation is, meaning the second generation, first generation of Vladot is Potter, I say even 10 generations is Potter. Why? Shachayut lavet kochavim. Chayotan lavet kochavim. He can always take what he finds in the Rishus of the Yisrael, even 10 generation grandchild that came from his original cow, he'll claim it as his own. Now, the Lashon of Reb Shimon Gamliel bothers him. So if you hold, like Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakhama was already discussing the generations post the original generation. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar Nochi Tanakhama Ladari, that the Tanakhama himself was pottering two of the dorot from the Tzon Barzel, so that only the third dor from the Tzon Barzel, which is dor four, is Mechayev dor five. So it makes sense for Shimon Gamliel to come along and say, what do you mean only dor five? I say even the tenth generation is going to be potter. Not only the fourth generation that gives birth to five is potter. Okay, then the language makes sense. Heinadon al Rav Shimon Gamliel, no! According to Rav Huna, however, we never discussed Dorot. What we said was the animals that the Goy himself was shayach to, the mother and the Vladot, which were the din, that he has half of those Vladot. So those two generations are Potter, and that's all. So what should Rav Shimon Gamliel have said? No. Even the Vladot of that first generation Vladot would be Potter. Then I understand, okay. So if that's the case, what you're telling me is that it isn't only a din in what the Akum had a direct shaychus to. It's even a din in whatever the goy could be teifus. That would have made perfectly good sense. But if I never discuss 3 dorot, why are you discussing 10 dorot? Just say, even the dorot. So according to Ravuna, he says, lo nochi tanakama ladori at all. The Tanakama didn't think there was an extension because of the achrayut problem into the dorot. It's only the things that the goy had an actual shaykhus to that is to say, the mother and the vladot. So then why did he say, afilo ad asar ha-dorot? All he needed to say was that it goes to the dorot as well. Amalek HaRavuna, gentlemen. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel wasn't referring to the Tanakama. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel agrees with the Tanakama. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was simply saying that whereas the Tanakama says if he-emit, the din is that you get one additional dor, comes along Reb Shimon ben Gamliel to say, no, once you already give him reshus to the dorot, even the 10th dor. Okay, if he's going on Amid, then the Tanakama also is Nachit Ladori. The Tanakama said you get one additional door. Comes Reb Shimon Gamliel to say, what one additional door? You get 10 additional door. Okay, Toshma. Hamekabot Son Barzom and Ovid Kochavim. What about the Reisha? The Reisha made no sense to Reb Yehuda, did it? It says over there, Beferish, that the animal itself, the hain, and the vladot, and that's it, are considered to be potter. So the tiyuf to the Reb Yehuda, but the vladei vladot are potter. How can you say it more clearly? Tiyuf to the Reb Yehuda. Amlach Reb Yehuda, no. Hain means the vladot. Hain meaning uvladotehem. And then the vladot of those vladotehem are potter. As a matter of fact, Ikedi Amri, some even asked this as a kasha, Dafkan Reb Huna, that they take it for granted that that's what it means. Hein uvladotehem are ptur, meaning even the vladot of the first generation vlad. That is to say, even the third generation is potter, the fourth generation isn't given, which would be tiyuf to Reb Huna. And Reb Huna, of course, answers, that's not the way to interpret the Mishnah. Amlach Reb Huna, ema hein uvladot, their vladot, and then are potter, because the goy is shayach to it. But vladei vladot are chayav. Omar, ein miftin to be mean, the ein matfisan lachozevak shiyirtze. So, what are you saying? To me, mimudalo mifrike. Habale mumin mifrike. Furthermore, you said, lachol kedusha shiyirtze. Who the ein matfisan? Okay, mashma lo oto zevak, he can be matfisan. So, what's the case? Echemeshkachel, matfisan lo oto zevak, and they're nifting with the mum, which is exactly what Reb Hanina said. Exactly the opposite of what Reb Huna said. So, name it David Yuv to Reb Huna. Amalach Reb Huna hu adin dafilu bale mumim ein nivdim. But I did a Tana Reisha, which was referring to kedushat aguf nivdim to me, to kedushat domi nivdim to mimim. Tana Rama sefer ein nivdim to mimim. But I did a Tana Reisha lekol zevach sheyirtze. Tana Rama sefer lekol zevach sheyirtze. Hashochatam bachutz patur. Reb Huna matne chayav. There's nothing to do with it. Let it die in the kippah. Meita. My time. Because what do you want to do? Echilame. Likreve. No way. Mikot kedusha tukhuya ka'atya. Lifreke. No way. Lo alim la mitvas pidyona. Hilkach. Meita. Matkefla Ravamram, why not just eat it? Nay. Vitekhalba Muma Labalim. Vikhima bin Zela Tumurat Bhoromaser, where over there it says Beferish in the Mishnah Tzan Tumurat Bhoromaser, Ainu Vladan, Vladevladan, At Sof Kola Dorot, Arein Kibakorumaser, Viachluba Mumam Labalim. Omalaya Baye Zeshmoi Moalab Vizeshemi Moalab. Zet murat b'chor v'maaser mekarya, and therefore mar b'chor v'maaser b'mum and mezachlin the balim after muratam mezachla. But this case of tzuliyam b'tashu b'shiniftu is also shemi mo'alav. And what are they called? Tumurat whatever the kachim are mikre. Just like kachim lo mitachla el b'pidyan after muratanami lo mitachla el b'pidyan, and there's no way to do the pidyan because lo alim lo mitvus pidyana. Therefore, it dies. Tanik vadir Rav Nachman, minay in the Tumurat Tzuleya Mukdashim Shemeta. Talmud Lomar, mimale hargera, tamehu lachem. And that was obviously coming to tell you something. That must be Tzuleya Mukdashim. What? I thought we used that before. Lechamesh chatot metot. No, that was from Umi Mafrisei Aparsa. There's two different diyukim here. Mima Leagira, Umi Mafrisei Aparsa, Tameh. That's where we learned that one, huh? And if you paid attention, you would see. Tameh Amiyafi. Minayin lechamesh chatot metot, Talmud lomar, Mima Mafrisei Aparsa, Tameh. But wait a minute, chamesh chatot metot, isn't that a hilchot gemirah? Okay, so Giyat HaKrala Tumurat Hashem. Tumurat Hashem nam yilchot gemirah. Going back to the original Pshat. You know what Tamehu means? Wait until it becomes Tameh. And then it's Lachem, meaning L'Re'iya. No, it means L'Mita. On the other hand, if we learn from the Halach, I would say, Avamina. But what if you were over? Say, Eched Ovav Ikri V'Ochal. So you were over an Isser. But there's no lav. Lav leka. Kamash v'lan, no. There's an actual lav. Tamei olachem. V'ibayetem alakushi davar haba mimale agira. V'davar haba mimafrisei aparsa. In other words, to be makish t'mura of psulei amokdashim shin niftu. To the dinu chamesh chatot ametot. Mala alam b'mita afkan b'mita. Hamekabel tzon barzel min oved kochavim. V'ladoteihem peturim, v'ladei v'ladoteihem chayavim. Hemid v'ladoteihem tachat imoteihem, v'ladei v'ladot peturim, v'ladei v'ladot chayavim. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, nah, afilo ad asra dorot peturim, she'achrayutan lo'ved kochavim. Rachel she'yolda min eiz, ve'eiz she'yolda min rachel, peturam min abachora, v'imish bo miktzat simanim chayav. So what are you saying? Apparently, the kiva de lo nakat mora zuze, it's still reshuta de mora kaime. How do you explain the fact that the Mishnah says, in mekabel tzon barzel mi Yisrael, mipnei shehu ribit? If it's ribit, alma reshuta de mekabel kaime. Om rabbi alokasha, hoda kabel leyun tzivizula, vado kabel leyun tzivizula. Om alei rabba, what in the world? Kabel leyun tzivizula, you're calling that tzon barzel? V'od, my pascha. Sometimes this, sometimes that, just to drive us nuts. V'od, adatani seifa over there in that Mishnah. But you could be makabot zon barzel from a goy. Forget about a goy. Liflo melitim bedida. Bameh, devar mamurim, that you cannot take zon barzel from Yisrael because it's a repeat. Dolo kabbalo avon zivazula. Avo kabbalo avon zivazula, then it's okay. So clearly you're wrong. Elah marav, of course, idim idi dolo kabbalo avon zivazula. What do you think he's going to do? He'll be tofis lelebeima. And what do you think he's going to do in lomashka lelebeima? He's going to be tofis lavladais. Okay? In which case, are yad oved kochavim beemza. V'cho yad oved kochavim beemza, ptura min abachora. Hemid v'lodotehem, tachat imotehem, v'ladei v'ladot pturim, omrevina. Vladot pturim, vladei vladeim chayavim. Reviewed on there. Vladei vladot nami pturim, vladei vladot chayavim. Tanan, hemi vladot achrimotehem, vladei vladei pturim, only because emid, halo emid lot, you have to review that. I'm like, review, it's exactly the same thing. What then apakav lo emid? Hakamashman afilu emid nami. The work of the kavim, the mitvas bin na, habikamish halo emid. And the din is vladei vladot alone are pturim. Vladei vladot are chayavim. Tznan retrieving a little more filo ad asra darot pturim. Shach rayotan ovek kochavim. Now look, Bish lama, I understand the Rebbe Yehuda. The Omar, even the Tanakama, started discussing the darot, meaning the vladot. So comes on, Rebbe Yehuda says, even 10 generations, not only one. But according to Rebbe Yehuda, who said we never discussed darot, lo nochi Tanakama darot. Only the Baim itself, its children were potter. So what are you talking about, Adasar Adorot? Amalach Ravuna, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel wasn't talking about the same case. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was talking about the second case. He was going on the case of Hamid. We're over there, the Tana did say the Dorot. One generation comes on, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, say 10 generations. Tashma, Hamekabot the Reishit, Hamekabot Tzom Baruch HaBed Oved Kochavim, V'lodotayim Pturim. Vladei vladot? No! Do you have to review that? I'm a little reviewer. What do you think it means? It means einu vladoteihem peturim. It means that the first generation is to say, the vladot, Ikene Amri, on the other hand, we actually ask it as a kasha on Rav Huna. Hein of lo datayim p'turin, tiyuv to the Rav Huna. Amri lo ka Rav Huna, no. It ema hein and themselves alone, but the vladot are putter. The vladei vladot, meaning of the first generation that comes out of the vladot of the Yisroel, are chayav. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambient, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
Okay, we're holding on Daf Tes Zayin in the Torah today. So yesterday, in order to bring a riot to Rav Sheshes, the Shita, maybe we should go back a little bit more to discuss Rav Sheshes' Shita and how it began. Maybe the point is like this. The Mishnah, remember, the whole theme of our Mishnah is to discuss the differences between Hegdesh l'mizbeach, where Kodam Muman l'Hegdesha, which left us only with Kedushas Damim, versus the Kodam Hegdesh l'Muman, where we have Kedushas Aguf. To express the various nafkaminas in those two cases. Where we only have Kedushas Damim, that's l'mizbeach, there, when we're prayed to the animal is completely chulin. Mashenkin, in the case where we're paid only after it gets a balmum, because the Kedusha was before and after the Sayyuf, in that case it doesn't become a total chulin, it has residual hegdesh, and that hegdesh asers it in Gizav Aveda, what's more, it makes the vlodais partially kodesh, and there can be a tmurah, we said, even after pidyon. Now, one of the things that we ran into problems with, what is the halacha of a vlad that you were paid the mother, and now the vlad is born after the pidyon? What is the status of that vlad? Now, yesterday it turned out that we made a gezeirah d'rabbanan because of the fact that people would tend to maintain suli hamukdashim that had been padui, if we would have told them the halacha. The halacha as it is that when you're paid as a mother, the vlad becomes, by definition, padui, because uber yeref imay, and there's no reason for the vlad to be awesome with your eyes. However, if that's the case, there would be no pressure on people to eat vladis kashim. Because after all, I can leave them around and use them for breeding purposes. Now I can have whole flocks of Sulei HaMukdashim that I'm using for breeding. But if I do that, the likelihood is that I'm going to end up doing an Isser of Giza HaVeda Vita. The Torah answers, Isidir writes, Giza HaVeda. So the Chachomim made a takona that actually the vlodais of such Sulei HaMukdashim, even though they're born afterwards, are considered to be actual Kedosh. Now, the shayla is, what do you do with them? If they're born, they were this Abba before, and they're born after. What do you do with them? So we had a machlokas yesterday between Rav Huda and Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina was brought by the Yerushalmi in Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Huda said, there's nothing to do, they have to die. They die because, what are you going to do with them? They're not kodesh, really, to be taken as pigeons. Because, first of all, they come from Kedusha Dekhuya because the mother was a Balazmun. And secondly, they're coming out of Acher Pidyon. Acher Pidyon, there's no real Kedusha left on them to be taken to Pidyon. The Mela, they die. Rebbe Chanina said, the Ma'arava, that there's always an Eitzah. What you can do is, before the Pidyon of the mother, you can give them their own Kedusha, be matfis them to be a Korban, and then they will have their own Kedusha, and then you can be paid to them directly after they're born. Now, the problem is that Rav Sheshes came along yesterday. Rav Sheshes says, When you pray to them, you should know, when you're machzis them, you can't be machzis them to anything that you want. You have to be machzis them, dafka to the same kedusha that the mother had. That's Rav Sheshes said. In order to bring a riot to Rav Sheshes, we brought a brisa that went through all of the halachas, one of which was, take a look, three lines in the bottom. And the children of these things that had been puddly, but had been pregnant at the time that they had been puddly, we said yesterday the din is that the blood is a kadesh, the ain't din tamimi, you can't be prey to them unless they have a mum, the ain't matvisan because zevach yirtzeh, and you cannot give them a kedusha to any old zevach, you can only give them a kedusha to the same kedusha that the mother was kedush for. In other words, a shlomim, they have to be a shlomim. Fine. Today we want to explore that, because that has, this is a brisa after all, and you have to admit that on the surface it seems to be saying exactly what Rav Chanina was saying. I mean, what's it talking about hatzvasa? What's it talking about pidyon? According to Ravuna, there's no pidyon, there's no hatzvasa. According to Ravuna, machnisam lekipah, and they die. It has nothing to do with them. What is happening to Sabra Josh? I'm getting very worried. Go betay them. Hashem or Asara or nothing? Okay. So, the Gemara today wants to explore the implications of this brisa for the machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Chanina. Omamah, so we're up to the top now of Daf Zayin. Omamah, ein nivdin tamimim, the ein matvisan lechol zevach sheyirtzeh. You said you can't be prayed to them if they're tamimim, you can't be matvis them to any old zevach that you want. Okay. So in other words, what you're saying is tamimim would alone be afflicted. But if they were balei mumim, you could be prayed to them. Furthermore, you said, lechol zevach sheyirtzeh, you can't be matvis them. But halo to zevach, you can be matvis them. Well, okay, so in other words, what is this talking about? What's the case exactly? When would I be matzistan? Echi mashkachas. Well, what would the case be? The case would be the matzistan also zevah. Basically, Reb Chanina zeitza. While the mother is pregnant, before the pinion of the mother be matzis the child for the kedusha of the same thing that the mother has, now the child is born, get the mum, you can be pregnant with the mum, which is exactly what Rav Chanina says, and exactly the opposite of what Rav Huna said. Rav Huna said, "Machmis of a kippah they made." There's nothing to do with that. So, lame at what? No, you don't want that to come from the kedusha dechuya of after the pidyon.
Right, but doesn't
seem to be perfect. No, this we discussed yesterday. Lay metavi to yubsa Ravuna. Omalcha Ravuna, who had been that filu bali mumim. No, said Ravuna, you're jumping to conclusions. You're right, it seems to be saying that. It doesn't really mean it. What it says is the reason it says that you can't be paid of them to mimim is because since the Reisha, which was talking about a case where there was cut on woman like Deisha, so it never had a guru, or never had Kedushas Agul, since the Reisha uses a Lashon of Nivdin Tamimim, the Sefer uses a Lashon of Ein Nivdin Tamimim, because what it's really trying to say is, you can't be paid to them. They have to die. There's no Kedush. That's what they're really saying. The same thing is true, by the way, in the Reisha, we were trying to bring out, you can make this a carbon, any carbon that you want. Why not? It's chulin. In order to show that you cannot make this any carbon that you want in the Seisa, that's why it says, but you can't do that. Of course, you can't do it to anything. But it uses the same marshal. The Reisha says you can make it any carbon that you want. And the Sefer says, you can't make it any carbon that you want. You can't make it any carbon at all. But we use the same language in order to keep it parallel to the Reisha. But it's certainly not trying to indicate that the Eighth is to do what Rav Chanina says. To make it Kedushas the Kedushas HaEim, use the Kedushas HaEim, which in this case will not be the queer because it isn't the Baal Mum, and it isn't La'akar Pidyon, so it avoids the Chia element, which is why I want to do it then, before, And now it'll be strong enough to be taken sufficient. Okay, so we're left without a clear raya, whether we go like Rabbi Runa or Rabbi Chanina. Obviously the pashtus of the braisa is that it's going like Rabbi Chanina. I mean, this is a pretty desperate terrorist over here that Rabbi Runa is coming up with. Continues the braisa. V'ashochtan b'chutz tatur. Now you'll notice in our Mishnah, it said ashochtan b'chutz chayav. Right? I mean, so over there, it's talking about the case where it was really Kedesh B'Kedush Zagut. Kodam, Hekdesh Rezguma. Ashertan B'Kutz Chayev, in our Mishnah. Here it's Ashertan B'Kutz Potter, and the truth is, it's easy to explain. Because Rav Huna actually had on this price Ashertan B'Kutz Chayev, the way our Mishnah says. The thing is that in order to say Ashertan B'Kutz Chayev, you're going to have to say it's going Aliyah to Rabbi Akiva. Because what's the general principle over here? There's two issues that we need to take into consideration. Does it have Kedushas HaGuf, which makes it Royal HaMizbeach? Obviously, if Kodam, Kmum, and Lagdation, there's never any way to be Mechayev at Peshkut HaKutz, because it doesn't have Kedushas HaGuf. So you can't be Mechayev Peshkut HaKutz, something that isn't Kedush HaMizbeach. Fine. Okay, but this does have Kedushas HaGuf. But there's another issue. It has to be Royal of Pesach or Omayid, because in the Yisr of Shvut it says the El Pesach or Omayid Loikrugo. So that means it needs to be able to be brought Pesach or Omayid over here to Baal Mum. How can you bring it Pesach or Omayid? So we have a simple explanation. If the Mum that we're talking about is a very subtle Mum, such as Dokin Shiba'ayin, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, the din of Dokin Shiba'ayin is Im Ota, and it is Be'ach Lo Tere. Since Imal Pa Lote Reid is considered to be Royal of Pesach HaOmayit, and therefore you would be Chayav Koreitz for Shvut HaKutz. If it's talking about Baal Mum Mamish, where it's noticeable, then even if also Tere, in which case there would be no way to say it's Miskabel Bifnim, and if it's not Miskabel Bifnim, then there's certainly no way to be Chayav for Shvut HaKutz. Therefore the explanation is simple. The Lashon, the Nusach that we have over here in the Braisa, that says Ashertan B'Kutz Potter is referring to regular Mumin. So Ashertan B'Kutz Potter is not Miskabel. Rav Huna has the same gears from the Brisa that we have in our Mishnah, which is Ashertan B'Kutz Chayev, would have to be going Aliyah to Rabbi Akiva, and it's talking about a subtle Mum, which is Dokin Ba'i, and Rabbi Akiva says, Imalu Lo Yerdu. By the way, on Dokin Shabayin, there's two explanations of Dokin Shabayin. A normal, the Kubal explanation, is that Dok is a cataract, essentially. It's called a doke, because doke is a lotion like a vilon, right? You find that the kisu, the shamayim, the doke. So it's like clouds. It's cloudy vision. Too. But the truth is, there's another explanation which Rashi brings here, that the doke in Shiba'ayin could mean on an eyelid, because the lid goes up and down like a doke. It's a window shade. The doke is essentially a window shade. Either you can say shaded eye because it has cataracts, or shaded eye because the person lowered his lid. Either case, the language of dope makes sense.
That comes to the doctor, that would be
Whatever it is, it is there. Alright. So what is what? You know, between the two of you, I'm going to have to learn new languages. I don't know what. Why can't you express yourself clearly? Articulate words. Yeah. You mean in terms of what? In Yotzi Yechiyah? It's certainly possible. It's a Baal Mum. Absolutely. It's possible. You only put it on the Mizbeach after you brought the Dam. You brought the Dam, the Isser. You shefted it, brought the Dam. Now you realize it has a Mum. Do you take it off or do you leave it on? So he says it becomes Lach Rishon Mizbeach, because we have Mizbeach is Makadosh, even things that are possible. Certainly, we had we went through a whole list of things. It's about which things it's Makat, which things it's not. Beit and Shemayim was about Chokis, Rabbi Akiva, and the Chachamim. It's very sweet, but I think I was just mentioning it. The Lashon of Dok, to use the Dok to mean the eyelid, Rashi connects to the famous Medrash about the eye. That the eye is a symbol of the world. So you have the white of the eye is the ocean that surrounds the world, which is the iris. And then in the middle you have the cornea, which is the light, where the light, I mean their vision light came out of the eye, you know, and bounced back, which is the sun. No, that's like the sun in the rakia. And the eyelid is like the clouds that cover the heavens. So the whole thing then turns its dok into the shamayim kidok, because that's how the mishorer compares the shamayim. So in the eye, the dok element that works out with that medicine, the dok element wouldn't be something wrong with the eye, a cataract, but is the mum is in the dok in shamayim, not the mum bi dok in shamayim, meaning the type of mum that is called dok in shamayim. Just a different explanation. What, you know, does it mean in the set of mum called dokin, bi dokin? Or the mum is in the physical dok in shamayim. But it's just it's such a beautiful medrash that it's connected with the, you know, the actual tears. Very sweet. Continues the Braisa. So the Braisa said, "Bein lifnei pidyanan, bein liyater pidyanan." Well, the same thing here. It's Eisek Tzmura. Now the Shaila is, after I pay this and it has this residual kedusha in it, I'm so misameach you with that residual that I'm going to use it 100 times a day. It's the only time I see you smile. It even leaves a residual smile on his face. So it makes a tzmura. Now this is a very strange tzmura, because it's a tzmura that's coming from an animal that's already poddly. What do we do exactly with a tzmura like that? Amr Nachman, Amr Rabba Barabua. Actually, this tzmura is the same situation as the case we had before where the mother is puzzly, right? And it's dokly. So now this animal's really bad shape because it doesn't have enough kedusha in it to be safe with the pigeons. It's coming from a kedusha that's dokliya. So what are you supposed to do with it? It has to die, exactly as Ravuna said about the other case. My time, I ask you, what do you want to do with it? Likrive, what, you want to be makrive for carbon? It's because kedusha dechuya ka'atya. Because you can't bring a carbon from something that is coming from a kedusha that is not showing. And you want to, now what do you do? What do you want to do? To be paid at Likrive. It doesn't have enough kedusha in it, law of limit Mr. Jenga. There's not enough power in that kedusha to be taken to pigeon, and therefore you're stuck. Here's the maze. Matkifor of Amram. Of Amram comes up with an absolutely chutzpahdika suggestion. His suggestion is, eat it! How can you eat? What's the chat I should eat it? Taina's Rav Amram, we have exactly this situation, don't we? When somebody makes a tzmura of a b'chor, a tzmura of maisa. So why don't we say, v'tischa b'mum alabar, why don't we wait till we get to mum? And now, it could be even has a mum, because you can make a tzmura on a bar mum, tov l'ra. So why is this any difference? Because ma'adei zel a tzmura of b'chor u'maser, it's a preferred submission that says, it's not, tzmura of b'chor u'maser, someone makes a tzmura of an animal that has kedusha b'chor, has a kedusha of ma'aser, Ein uvladan uvladan atzov kol ha'olam arein ki b'chor u'maser. The din is that the tzmura and the vlad has a din of b'chor u'maser for all generations because it has that kedusha now. So what's the din of it? Continues the Mishnah, v'yachlu b'mumon l'bami. And now that it has a mum in it, there's no chiyuv to give it to a kohen. It doesn't have a mum element of b'chor. It has kedusha of b'chor. So that after Kedusha B'chor, same way a Kohen can invite you to eat a B'chor if you gave him, yeah? Why not? It's not usher for Yisrael to eat. So if that's the case, here where you don't have to give it to a Kohen, eat it yourself. A B'chor with a mum is kosher to eat, except that it belongs to the Kohen. Absolutely. No. If it's really his B'chor, he can eat it mitzad dinei iser, but mitzad dinei momen, he would have to give it to the Kohen, but the Kohen can invite him to eat from it. But in this case, he doesn't have to give it to a Kohen because it isn't a B'chor, it's more of a B'chor, it's a blood. So there, he can eat it. Time is Rav Amram, basically this Kedusha of the Behema that was Nivta. What is that? It's the same thing as a B'chor with a Balmum. It's meant for the owner to eat, right? The owner eats it, so that's like a b'chor which the Kohen would be eating. So now if you have a tamura of that b'chor, so now you can still eat it. So if you have a tamura of an animal that you can eat, you can still eat it. Makes perfectly good sense. You're making a tamura of an animal that's pugly, and that pigeon created basically a tamura's b'chor. So I don't get it. Why don't you eat it? I'm going to buy it. What kind of naive question is that? It's obvious why you can't eat it. One of them is a tamura of a b'chor. So it has the same din as the b'chor. One of them is a tamura of shlomim. That's the same thing as shlomim. I didn't understand what the comparison is. So the b'chor, the halak of a b'chor is each can eat the b'chor. There's never, where can you eat kutchim without bringing it on his back? Well, it's a naive question. It's not a new halakha which would define a status called the tamura of. You have to define the tamura of what? The halakhas that are given to the tamura derived from the source of the tamura. So therefore, time is a bay. Is there shame? Imo alav? Imo, not meaning a biological mother. In other words, imo, its roots, its source, like the carcass of yesh em lamikra. So zesh shame imo alav, zesh shame imo alav. In other words, the tamura of a b'chor, zeh, tamura of b'chor, umaseh mikra. This is called a tamura b'chor. That's its shame of iser. Not tmura. Is that a new thing just called a tmura? The tmura of. Okay, so let's analyze tmura of what? Tmura of a b'chora miser is like the b'chora miser. Just like b'chora miser itself, the mumman are mit'achlin le'ba'alim. Their halak is that they're fed to the ba'alim. So the tmura has the same thing. It has a mum, it's mit'achle le'ba'alim. But this carbon also is a shame imo alav. What's its aim? Tumura of kachim, whatever the kachim was, Mikaya. Just like kachim cannot be eaten unless you're paid it, so the tumura can't be eaten unless you're paid it. Here, there's no way to be paid it because it's law of lima lamitmus pigyana. So therefore, because it doesn't have the kayak in its kedusha, since it came from the kedusha kakuyim.
Bring it tomorrow, you could, but this one, because
it's coming with, it's coming from a pugly already. Right. So, in other words, we have over here a very important machlokas. That's Nagea Hilchas Tumura, but it appears over here because of our sugya. But basically, we have a machlokas between Abaye and Rav Amram. Rav Amram was metabol of his explanation on that. It's not the human sheet that can be mizacha. But the idea is this. According to Rav Amram, the halacha of the Tumura is not defined by the abstract halacha of its aim. It's defined by the source of the Kedusha of the Tumura. So the source of the Kedusha of the Tumura in this case is an animal that may be eaten. Because it is a Tumura of a shlomim that was padui already. So if it's padui already, why can't it be eaten the same way that the shlomim that was padui is eaten? And that's why his question is really not a naive question at all. It's a very, very brilliant question. If the din is that a tumura of a b'chor is eaten because that's the din of the b'chor, then why isn't the tumura of a shlomim hapadui eaten because that's the din of the shlomim hapadui? What Abaye is saying is that it's not following the halachas of the animal that created the pigeon. It's following the halachas of the Kedusha that created the pigeon. The Kedusha, that there's no such thing as the Kedusha of a Shlomim Padu. There's such a thing as the Kedusha of a Shlomim. This Gemara obviously is not Tawdry. And to whatever extent it has the Kedusha Shlomi, it requires Pidyon in order to get the Heter of Achila Shlomi. If you're going to be Tawdry, you'd be able to eat it, but you can't be Peder. That's the point. So in other words, the Shiloh of here is the Tamura a reflection of the animal, or is the Tamura a reflection of the din of the Kedusha from whence that animal derived? Yeah, by us timing the latter, and that's why we don't have the option of Achila B'Muma L'Ba'ali. That's just really a subtle question over here. It's a subtle problem. But you have all kinds of very important implications in this episode. Sorry?
If you say a tzmura, this is a tzmura, that
you'll wait already for Mesefis Tzmura. But yeah, your question is a good question. There's not really any difference except in the mode of doing it. One is a mitzvah and one is an initiative, right? So, and they end up, they end up doing the same thing. They certainly take another animal and be prey to one animal and another animal. I just can't call it a tzmura. I can't try to make it in its place, right? Kani kavasit or not? Minayin the tzmurat suleya muktashim shemeita. Reb Nachman's mimer over here that there's no choice but to allow it to die is clearly backed up by this brisa that says, how do I know that the tzmura of suleya muktashim, the case that we were talking about in our brisa right here, that the halach is that it dies. Talmud lomar mima'ale hagera tameu lakem. That means that there are some animals that seem to be completely kosher, the ma'ale gera, and yet they are usher for you to eat. What is that animal? That is a tmura psalam of dashi. Wait, I thought that we learned that pasuk to tell me the din of chamesh chata'ot metot. But we have a number of situations, the kind. We have a number of situations where if you can't use an animal of Kadesh, it has to be allowed to die. There might be some akit. We had talked about one yesterday. We have the most Yodua case, which is Alach L'Moshe Misinai. The case of the Chomesh Chatos Mesos. You were Matvish Korban Katos. And now, there's various circumstances. Either the pylon had died, or it became too old, or it was in a stopper with another one, or a case where somebody made a tzmura of akatas. You have a lot of akatas. Those five cases, the din is that the akatas has to be allowed to die. Makis and Makib. Now, it says that the lashon of mala gera tamehu is the moker for the issur d'oraisa of eating a chatas amesa. And you want to use it to talk about a case of a tumura that was a tumura of a behema of Suleya Mugdashi. And you're saying that that's a riot to a Nachman and there's nothing to do but to let it die. The problem is that this pasuk is already in use. No, says the Gemara, you're close, but not close enough. There's two psukim over there, remember. There's Mimala Girah, Mimapisei Aparsa. The one that says Mimapisei Aparsa indeed is a reference to the Chamesh Chatos Ameses. But there's also this remez that there are Mala Girah that are Meses. And that's this case. Tosfos, one suggestion in Tosfos is that it's because of the repetitive psukim. Because we've already used this before by Torah Shalom and Atami Tom. Exactly. So it could be that that's what we're going to say in the foundation. It's too absurd. Sani Amiyafi, Minayin L'Chomesh Katoz Meses. In the bright effect says, how do you know the Chomesh Katoz Meses? You're not allowed to eat them. Talmud Lomar, Mimafrisei Aparsat Tamei. Okay, so we have two different rayas, one of which is for Chomesh Katoz. One of them is for the case of Tumuras Psuleam Mugdashim, I'll leave it to Reb Nachman as a right. It's the Gemara, why would I need a pasuk to tell me Chamesh Chataos Mesos if that's how local Amesh Misina? Chamesh Chataot Metot Yilchata Gemirala. Okay, fine. The Pasuk is coming to the addition, which is Tumuras Asham. Tumuras Asham, I also need a Pasuk to tell me that you can't use it itself. Tumuras Asham is also the Chol HaBeis Sinai, isn't it? We always say, Kol Shebechatat Meita B'Asham Roa. Whatever would die as a Korban Chatat, meaning, so it was a chatas and a sabra shenot or shemes a bala and a schapra bala bachar as a tumuras chatas of las chatas. In a similar case of a korban asham, the asham would not be put into a kippah, but we would wait until it gets a mum, and we would use its money to buy an oila and give that oila to the mizbeach. But you're not allowed to use the asham itself. Many things, Hashem Sheikh Harufa, Hashem Nazir, Hashem Mitzera, Hashem from the Elis, Hashem Talui. This is back in Zvachim, Chazara. So I need a pasuk for Hashem. The truth is, by the way, as no, it's Kachuk, same thing as the Chatas. It's always compared to Chatas, the Hashem and the pasuk. So it's a complete, it makes no sense. This din of chatas mesa doesn't make sense either. Can I be paid it? Now, the din is, by the way, that the Gemara always says the kosher of a chatas mesa ba'asham roya, and it acts as if that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. In reality, that's not halacha l'moshe m'sinai. As Tosfos points out, as we'll discover, the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is that the asham is actually meant to be an oilam, which is a tremendous fish. It's the chachamim who were gezer that we should wait until it gets to balmum. We have to menatik it l'ri'iyah before we can bring it as an oilam. That's the fact of it. However, because that's the way we ended up applying this halacha l'moshe m'sinai, we always quote it as kosher b'asham mesa. So anyway, what's the difference, asks the Gemara? Arsham Nami is the Yogasi. Okay, you know what? I was right the first time. It's going on the punish but those mesas. You ask me what I need a pasuk for. Obviously, it's obvious what I need a pasuk for. If I have a local measure in Sinai, do I know that I'm chayav on a lot, the Sayyida? Well, what's the measure we see now is you can't use this path, it has to die. You're good, it has to die. Fine. Now, I ate it. You have a problem with that? You're a bad boy. All right, I'm a bad boy. Thank you. See you later. So where do we know what it means that it's awesome? Therefore, it's a krav, it's a ayokasa. Because if it just says in the pasuk, mimapiseyaparsa, okay, fine. I won't eat it. Thank you. So what will I do with it? I'll be paid. I'll wait till it gets it warm. I'll have a meal or a commercial on it. It's amazing. But that's the halacha. But if it were only would have said the halacha, he meal for Sabamina. Heck of the Yavar. Ikri. If he went and it just happened that he ate it, the Yachal, from the Kamech Katos Amesas, fine, he did an Isser. But there's no lav. There's okay a Malchus. Lav a leper. Commercial on Dika lav. Therefore, I need to have a lav in the Torah. Somebody gets Malchus. Okay, that's one approach. The other, the truth is, you by saying, "Lakushi dover abomim alei agirah, the dover abomim apisei parsa." Or what it might be coming to tell me is that it's good for coming to compare the mapisei haparsa, which is talking about the chatos on mitzvos, to the malei agirah, namely the case of Reb Nachman of tumura of tzilei hamukdashim that were puddling, and now I made a tumura on them. And there it's coming to tell me that just like Bala Halan Bimita, just like, because from the Pasuk, how do I know that it has to die? How do I know that it isn't Padui? Well, who says Maklisa Makifa? But since the Torah is comparing now Maklisa Parasa, which are Chavish Chatasamesis, to Malaya Dira, which is also Bakila, but it's a Tumura of Tzulei HaMakdashim Shenivtu, now I know Tzulei HaMakdashim Shenivtu of the same din. And Chatos and Mesos, and Machnis and Lekipa, and Mesos.
Mm-hmm.
A sheikhet should ask this question.
I don't like chili, though. It's just a sheikhet. I don't have a problem with chili. I have a problem with leaving them there, you know. I mean, could we just put them in a pen
and feed them forever until they die themselves? I mean, in a separate mountain? Painful situation. It is. It's like sucking out the soul with serious blood. There's times that you don't punish people, but you're machnis on the people. See, we do this to people too. You know, where we have a recidivist. Guy keeps being over an issue. We don't put somebody in jail. We don't put somebody in jail. We let them die in jail. Just don't keep people in jail. If you can't kill them, let them die themselves. And they feed him oatmeal. That'll do it. Okay, you'll have to take Shabbat Gashin's HaMekaber Tzon Barzel Min Ha'Oved Kofavim. Now here we're getting to the question, further issues, of what is considered to be the ownership of an Akum. Remember, that Kol Shiyat Akum Be'emta, you don't have a Kedushas before. The case in the first Mishnah discussed, where I sold it, I buy it, I buy the rights to the yogur, the Akum buys the rights to the mother. But here's another situation in which somebody creates an iska with a guy, and he makes a deal in which he takes the animals of the Akum as Tzon Barzel. What does Tzon Barzel mean? Same thing it means Tzon Barzel and Tzuba. Tzon Barzel means that the tzon that I take from you are, for all intents and purposes, made out of steel. Meaning that whatever happens to them, you get them back. In other words, I give you an, as we say in English, an ironclad guarantee, tzon barzel. These are tzon with an iron guarantee that whatever happens, you get back the full principal that you invested in the business. And if there are profits, we split the profits. Now, if you do this normally with somebody, basically it's rebate. In other words, if you borrow money from somebody on this basis, then that's usur, not usur min deraisa, because we don't know how much rebate you're paying. Because there may be, you know, we don't know if there'll be profit, we don't know if there'll be loss. But since over here it's guaranteed that you get back the initial investment, for all intents and purposes, I'm borrowing the money. Then if there's going to be any profit, you're going to be paid for the use of your money, but you're not taking any risks. Now, in this case, I'm making a deal like that on these tzon, and now they have children. Now, those children are split. What's the din about the bechor? Say the deal is that the bechor goes to me. Right? What's the din now of that bechor? The din is that even the vladot themselves are putzer. Meaning, the child of, doesn't mean a child who is a bechor. It means even the child of that animal that has a bechor, third generation now, is putter from bechor. Why? Because the Akum, we'll see that the reason is that the Akum has rights. If he doesn't get his money, this is viewed as a mashkon for his money. So whatever, that ironclad guarantee actually gave him kinyanim in the children, so that if he wants to, he says, well, I didn't collect cash from you, I'm going to actually take the blood. But that's mine. He said, well, you didn't pay me my share, sorry. So since he has yad akum be'emtza, therefore it's part from a bechor. But the fourth generation, the child of vladei vladoteihem, the fourth generation child of the child of the child of the blood is a chayev now. So in other words, the blood is the third generation. It's chayev to give its bechor, fourth generation, to the kohen. There's the animal. There's the animal. It's generation one. It's like we say grandchild is the third generation. So there's the grandchild, which is the third generation of blood is. If he has a child, that fourth generation child is given to the Kohen. And me to blow the damn takati motayim? If the Jew tells the guy, look, if I don't give you the money, and the mother is not around to collect from, because my ironclad guarantee couldn't guarantee it to remain alive, and I guarantee you the money, you could come and collect the child in its place. Now that is a meaningless statement, because anyway you could come and collect the child in its place. So what he does by doing that is he opens up the door to the demand of a next generation. What he's saying is that the child is to be treated the way the original sheep is to be treated. Now that gives the goy a right to take the child of that child, in which case now the Yad Akum is only out of the way in the fifth generation, and the fifth generation would be given to the goyim. So there, even blood-a-blood would be potter. Blood-a-blood-a-blood-a's would be chayok. The whole flock, and now a bechor of one of those animals is what's concerned. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, no, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, afil adasar adaris. That's not fifth generation. I don't care if it's ten generations. Why? They're all going to be potter. Sha'akrayutan lo bekokav. The bottom line is, the guy can sue you for it, and if he can sue you for it, the sha'akrayut. And it's Yad Akum Bansam. Rachel she yalda min Eiz, the Eiz she yalda min Rachel, Titzuram min Abakorah, just like we saw by the Peter Chamor, Vimyeshko Mistat Simonim Chayav, and just like we saw by Peter Chamor, Mikta Simonim is Mechayav and Nidma in Bechayav.
Nidma.
Lameimra de Kivan de Lanakat Mara Zuzin. Now the Gemara thought that the reason that the blood is potter over here is because when you make a guarantee of this type, the actual ownership is retained in the reshus of the original owner. So it's like I'm borrowing. And if that's the case, it belongs to the Yaakov. So obviously it's potter from Bechor. That's what we thought the reason was. So if you're telling me the Kibna Lomakat Mara Zuzik, that since over here, the guy in this case did not get any money in exchange for his animals, he's investing the animals with the understanding that he gets his principal back. So you're telling me that you're viewing such a kind of investment as a loan, that's it, right? In other words, it's really less than a loan. Right? It's in English, unfortunately, you can't distinguish between a loan and a loan. You can distinguish between hashala and hashkara. And the halva'ah, which in Hebrew has two totally different meanings, halakha. So you lend somebody an animal, you lend somebody money. In Hebrew, you can't do that. In Hebrew, you could be mashia, an animal. You can't be malva, an animal. This accounts for the whole... But a heter itzka has to have in it a clause that the payment is in exchange for your tircha. Otherwise, it's ribbis. This is ribbis without that additional clause. The heter iska adds a payment, which is the only reason you have a right to keep parts of it if there's a loss. So now, the problem is that if that were the case, that it's only viewed as hash'alah, again, I don't know how to say that in English, but in hash'alah in Hebrew, when you lend something, it's yours, the other guy gets the right to use it. Whereas halva'ah is it's not yours any longer, the other person replaces it.
Okay?
I don't know. So the problem is that if that were true, then it wouldn't be ribbis. Because you are allowed to borrow things and pay for them.
Different.
No, I can pay for them.
Borrowing,
I'm paying what I'm doing. It boils down to a rental. Even though it's a strange rental because if something happens to it, I'm including that in the payment. Okay, but that's no different than accepting responsibility for loss, which a shoyel does. But there's payment for leasing. We're talking about a case where there's no payment.
Okay.
Over here, there doesn't have to be payment. It's an arrangement which, in essence, it would boil down, I don't know, a lease also. I own it during the lease. I don't know what's the laws in English about leasing. Who owns the car during the period of lease? Car company? I don't know if that's so posh. I don't know what the law is. So the problem is that if that were the case, then there should be no rebate problems in doing this with a Jew. If you're telling me that the guy remains the owner, so then in the equivalent case, a Jew remains the owner. If a Jew remains the owner and I want to pay him for the use of something that I borrow from him, that's a perfectly kosher lease. It's not called rebate. Rebate is only where you're doing al-ba'ar. And yet it says that ain't the coupling, son barzal miyasom, and they should rebate. Here you call it rebate. If it's rebate, then I'm a bishop to the Mikabo kind of. Then obviously you view an ironclad guarantee situation as a glorified loan, a glorified halva'a. That's what it boils down to. You're saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to return the actual animal to you, but don't worry. It's worth X. This is what I owe you. That's what the ironclad guarantee is. I'm going to give you X number of dollars. Omar Abayas is Abayas. Well, you're right, but we could say that there's two different types of tzon barzal. There's a tzon barzal where the ironclad guarantee includes acts of God, and then there's ironclad guarantees that don't include acts of God. So in other words, in a case where some, normally in a hashalah, if the thing is made by machmat malacha, right, so I borrow your car and your car simply drops dead in the middle of doing its work. I mean, I'm not responsible for that. So in that case, over here, we can say there's two types of tzon barzal. Habakabla alayun sivizula, habakabla alayun sivizula. One case is talking about that he's makabla on himself, even accidents, and even the lowering in price. So he's going to say, well, I don't want to lend you my sheep. I mean, right now I get a good price on them. So I guarantee you your price. So in that case, he's makabel, even if the market value goes down, to pay him the current value, that indeed is essentially a purchase. But where I don't accept to pay you market value, that is a thing that it remains in your rishos. So over there, if I'm not makabel unsa bezula, it belongs in the guy's rishos. That explains why over here it's considered to be a goy's animal, and it's put for the b'chor. So Rava laughed at this shot. I'm like, Rava, come on. The kavna like unsa bezula, son barzal karisale? You're saying the owner accepts the loss of market value and of accidents, and that's called son barzal. The whole point of calling it son barzal is that the one who's taking it is makabel. That's why it's ironclad. Otherwise, it's not ironclad. So the meaning, the words don't mean that. You can't call it son barzal where the owner says, well, don't worry about it. If there's any change in the market value, just pay me its current value at the time. I mean, so then it's not son barzal. Then you're saying that you're basically, it's yours and I'm going to use it and we're just making a deal for my use. Furthermore, besides, I mean, Pascha, understand, it's just arbitrarily. We decide to use the words in a different way, just to confuse the listener. In other words, when it comes to Yisrael, and we want to say that it's usher because of Rebis, there we use tzon barzal in one way. When we want to say that you have an Isser, not an Isser, we have the Yad of the Akum as the owner, then we use the word tzon barzal another way. Completely arbitrarily, that's called Pascha. It's called splitting things without any reason. Furthermore, I have a killer of a question for you. Because Adatani Seifa, Abba Mikablin Son Barzal Menodik Yechavim, when you talked about the Isser, Kimbab Metzia, of Ein Mikablin Son Barzal Yisrael, so you continue to say, Abba Mikablin Son Barzal Menodik Yechavim. Why don't you say, Abba Mikablin Son Barzal of variation 2, even from Yisrael? Isn't that a bigger finish? Since you have to create a situation in which there's a different type of tzon barzal, let's tell me the different types of tzon barzal. Certain types of tzon barzal are okay even for Yisrael, and certain types are not kosher for Yisrael. Obviously, this can't be the explanation. There's only one type of son barzo. Son barzo means iron. Iron means I guarantee you against losses due to market fluctuation, as well as to ones. So what it should have said, they'll see it inside. At a tiny safe on the carbon son barzo and earth kechavim, leaf log, villainous law, but he got. I can distinguish it in the same case, which is a bigger chiddush. I could have said, "Bamed when do we consider this to be rebate where it was an actual loan? If the Yisrael now is ready to take on himself market fluctuations, then it's kosher to do this. Then I'm just paying him for the use. Shaper done it. Elamah Rabbah, therefore says Rabbah, based on my three objections, I have another explanation to the whole idea. Of course it makes no difference. The cases are always the same. The owner is not Mekabel Unsa Vezula, and therefore it's called Son Barzo. Now you're going to tell me, so then why is it considered to be in the Rishus of the Goy when it comes to Bechor, and yet by Yisrael, it's not in the Rishus of the Goy, for heaven's sakes. The reason that it's brought from the Bechor is even though it's not in the Rishus of the Goy. The reason is, the boy says, let's say the Goy would have come to collect, and you wouldn't have money to pay him. So what would he do? He would go and he would take the animal. Prophet Zobayim would say, I have a lien on this animal. Because you guaranteed it. So therefore it's certainly mine. And if he wouldn't find the animal, he wouldn't find the original animal, he would go and he would take the vlad. Prophet Zobayim. In which case the vladays are also his. Not because of legal ownership, but because when it comes to a Bechor, even a lien is sufficient to take off the din of a Bechor because of Yad Akum Be'emsa. That's the problem. Since you've got a Goy in the middle of all of this, Kol Yad Akum Be'emsa to Raman HaBechor. If you've got a Goy in the middle, it's parted from Bechor. He'emid Vladoteihem Tachat Imoteihem Vladei Vladot Turim. If the Goy now is given rights to the Vlad, which he had anyway, then our understanding is that the Vladei Vlad is a Potter. Says Rav Huna, look, the way to understand the Mishnah over here is that Vladot themselves are Pturim, Vladei Vladot are Chayavim. The way basically we explained it, the Mishnah is being very careful with its words. Vladei Vladas are Chayav, Vladeis are Potter. Whereas Rav Yehuda says something that seems to run against the simple pshat of the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda says, no, Vladei Vladot are also Pturim, which means that a fourth generation Bechor would not be given to a Kohen. It's only Vladei Vladei Vladot that are Chayavim. The fourth generation that has a Bechor has to give that Bechor to a Kohen, meaning only the fifth generation is Chayim. So now we want to ask on him from the Mishnah. First of all, how do we understand the Mishnah? It's not. The Mishnah says that in the case of Hamid Vladot Tachat Imotehem, the Vladei Vladot are Pturim. Now, only in a case where you're Mechazek, the Yad Ha'akum, to tell him that he has a right to go directly to the Vladeis, there it says Vladei Vladot are Pturim. So you see, Taima Dehemi, Hallo Hemi Lo. Clearly, if you hadn't made that additional clause, you would not have a right to the fourth generation, and therefore the fourth generation would be a Bechor already, right? To the Rav Yehuda. This seems to show that Rav Yehuda is wrong in the Mishnah. Omalacha Rav Yehuda, who I did not forget the Lo Hemi. Not true. The din in the Mishnah, Vladei Vladeis, is exactly the same whether you remind me of Vladeis or you weren't minded the bloods, whether you were mechazik the Yad Ha'akum, or you were not mechazik the Yad Ha'akum. But what it's trying to say is, a chiddush, that al kamashmalan, that afilu hamid nami, even in a case where you were mechazik the Ha'akum, were over there, urche da'ovi kefavi, le mitfas bina, v'avi kemo da'lo hamid, the death of the Akum, anyway, that is to go and to be Teifes, the child. So, I might have thought that since you were mechazik the koyach of the akum now, to say you can be teifis the child, maybe what you're doing is you're saying, okay, you know what? Any payers, I don't care if it's 10 generations later, any payers at all that this animal has, you can be teifis if I don't have the money. That's how I would read it. Comes along the time and say, apal pikein, it's only fourth generation. Up to the fourth generation, you can be teifis. The fourth generation, you don't have any shaykhs to, and therefore the fifth generation is chayvim b'chol. Nonetheless, the habit you need a lot. I mean, blood is pure, and blood is chayav. Now, it's not Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I'm not a few other sorrows that are. How do you understand Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Shimon Gamliel said, even if it's the 10th generation, you're potter because Achrayas, David, Kekhovian, and they're all Yad Akum Be'emsa. It's not Bishlam, the Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Torah makes sense, better sense, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because Bishlam, the Rabbi Yehuda, Menochis, Tanakam, Lodori. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakama was also talking about the number of generations, right? Tanakama says, well, the fourth generation already is not Yad Akum, and therefore the fifth generation is given to the Kohen. So therefore comes on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel to say, why fifth? Even ten? So therefore, I know Dama Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, a few other solidarity children. But according to Ravuna, Ravuna holds Lo Nafis Tanakam Ladori. According to Ravuna, the Tanakama never discussed generations. What he was saying is the animal and the bloodites of that animal are the akrams. Therefore, the first time that you can have a bakar is if the bloodites have a bakar. But there are no generations. There's the deal. The deal revolved around the mother and the child. Anything that was part of the deal is going to be Osir. Anything not part of is going to Yad Akum. Anything that's not part of the deal is Chayim. Very simple. So all that Shimon Gamliel should have said is that no, you're Chayav Abba Peking. What do you have to talk about? How many generations? Oh, you were all that sort of dark. Did I say anything about generations? All you had to say was, even bloodites are considered to be shalom. Yeah, don't tell me how many generations there are. So then, what's up to the bloodites? Says Ravuna, no, you misunderstand. Rav Shimon Gamliel wasn't referring to the case of the Mishnah and the Reisha. Rav Shimon Gamliel was referring to the second case, where you were minated in the Rishus of the Akron. So over there, the Talmud says, let's add another generation. And now it'll be fourth generation. Even 10th generation. But Enoch Yinami, on the Tanakhama, Rav Shimon Gamliel wasn't even arguing, wasn't discussing that case. So therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel, he's going on the second case of the Mishnah, the Nafish Vidari, where there the Tana did discuss how many generations. Therefore, it says he, even not Esther Doris, why only four generations? Toshma. No, it's not. Hamikabot some barzom and over kachom. It's a chizuk. Hamikabot some barzom and over kachom. Vladei seyem tzurim. Vladot chayavim. This is the pharish. So tiyufta the Rav Yehuda. Here the pharo we have the absolute. I mean, there's no way to read it into Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is claiming that blood are basically the one that we're talking about, right? He says even according to the Tanakhama, blood that have a child are. Just I have a bar mitzvah and we're going a little late. Yeah, hello. Oh, press the wrong button. To learn how to use this thing. All right, let's just finish up here. I'm a tablet on Basman of Gepard, but it's from Vladeis, or Ain of Vladeis, saying, of Turin. So it's a Yuftid review, huh? So it's Tanya's review, though. You're reading it wrong. The meaning is Hain, meaning Vladeis, of Turin. But the blood is a chayav. That's how to read it. Not they and the blood is. They, the Vladites, are Pturim. In Gnei Amri, others say, Hain of Vladites, Hain of Pturim, Yuta Rabuna, Amla Farabuna, Hain Vladites Potter, Vladites, Vladites Chayav. Says Rabuna, no. In the country, it's exactly what it's saying. The Vladites are Potter. The Vladites are Chayav, meaning the fourth generation is given. Not the fifth generation. So in other words, the Hain is going back one generation. Yes.
I mean, just what I said
to you, I'm sorry, I was in a terrible accident.